Welcome to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show where Anders Leo Lindberg discusses the latest trends in finance and accounting with a global audience via LinkedIn audio. Recorded live, anyone can tune in and take part. Just raise your hand and share the stage. Will you join Anders next time? For now, kick back, relax, and enjoy this week's show.
Hello and welcome everyone to another episode of the Hashtag Finance Master Show. Today's topic is driving growth for CFOs. We are reviewing the blog post released this morning called From CF Know to CF Grow. And I guess pun is intended here, trying to get CFOs to go more in the offensive rather than only being cost cutters or bean counters or whatever other labels that we can put on them. We are reviewing the top 10 priorities for CFOs in 2024, and today's priority is on growth. So let's dive into it. Does growth and CFO go together? Many would say no. CFOs have historically focused on optimizing profitability rather than growing the company. Some would even argue that CFOs have been detrimental to growth in many companies. They have been labeled CF No, focusing more on risk mitigation and cost cutting rather than building the business. However, it's time for CFOs to change their approach and earn the label CF Grow or CFO Grow. Why is that? Well, it's because at least 7 of the 10 levers that we discussed in last week's show, and I'll be sure to repeat them in just a bit, that drive the value creation companies are related to growth. CFOs may feel most comfortable in driving the other levers, I'll repeat again. However, why limit your remit in terms of driving value creation? This week, we discussed tangible ways that CFOs can contribute to the levers that drive growth. The 10 levers for driving value creation are size of revenue, R&D investments, industry trends, geography trends, M&A programs, capital expenditure, and differentiation improvement. Those 7 are the ones directly related to driving growth. Not only growth, of course, but significantly driving growth. The remaining 3 are debt capacity, resource reallocation, and productivity improvements. To get a good perspective or framework for discussing how CFOs can drive growth, we'll look at this in 3 lenses for CFOs to drive growth. And I should say, you know, there's lots of material in terms of growing businesses in general out there. This is not a show where we can repeat all that because you can easily find it. And there's smarter business people probably than us that can talk about that. And we want to frame it in a CFO context. So let's start by framing the scope for CFOs in terms of driving growth. We're not suggesting that CFOs should overtake the CEOs or the commercial organization's duties. These are more skilled and experienced in the first level efforts of driving growth, being sales and marketing, building customer relationships, and understanding market and customer trends. CFOs are more likely to act as business partners to the stakeholders directly involved in realizing growth. CFOs and the finance organization need to enable these stakeholders with the right insights to make the best decisions and execute accordingly. For that purpose, we can consider 3 lenses for CFOs to drive growth. There is the strategic lens, where and how should we grow? There's the operational lens, how well do we execute our growth choices? And finally, the financial lens, how are we creating value from our choices, or realizing the value, if you will. The next step is to overlay the 3 lenses to the 7 levers related to growth. Now, we're not going to do that individually. We will do this in 3 buckets. So revenue and R&D is 1 bucket. Industry and geography trends is another. And M&A, capital expenditure, and differentiation improvements is a 3rd. We do this since the first 2 are based on historical choices, revenue and R&D investments. The next 2 are external factors, industry and geography trends. And the last 3 are internal and active future-oriented choices that we can make as a business. Obviously, we cannot choose to have grown in the past or made different R&D investments, and we cannot choose for external trends to be different. So it's important that we segment this into three buckets. Doing that, we get a nice 3x3 matrix. We call it the CFO's growth matrix. Putting it all together leaves the CFO with a 3x3 matrix where we can discuss what CFO should do to drive growth. So first, we're looking at historical levers. Through the strategic lens, we can talk about that you can't change the past. However, you can make more conscious choices about the company to become in the future. What we know from research from McKinsey is that size matters, but there is a significant threshold to pass. If your revenue is not more than around $10 billion in annual revenue, you're not getting any boost in terms of your value creation from this particular lever. So most companies would find themselves on the outside looking in. It may not even be feasible to pull this lever. Only if you're already in or on the limit should you make the size as a strategic consideration. Similarly, with R&D, it depends on the type of business you're in. In pharma, for instance, it's a must, but in consulting, it may be considered irrelevant. So, of course, you know, you can't change your strategy in the past, but you can definitely make considerations for the future. Through the operational lens, CFOs should ensure to have transparent overviews of ongoing growth and R&D initiatives. There should be a plan and business case behind each of these that can be followed up on in a regular cycle review. Especially in R&D, it's important to understand the progress at each stage of the process and the likelihood of a certain project passing on to the next stage. A lot of value can be derived from knowing when to step up investments and when to cancel projects. Through the financial lens, CFOs should ensure that feasibility studies are conducted to gauge if reaching the size threshold is even possible. You should also consider this from a relative perspective, though. So looking at the company size relative to the main competitors. So while, of course, McKinsey has determined an absolute threshold, it is still a relative game. So if you are one of the biggest in your industry, this can still be relevant to consider. So maybe you can't reach the overall threshold, but being number one or two in your industry will still give you significant competitive advantages. For R&D, CFOs must make the financial value creation tangible throughout the product development process. If for very early stages, this is not possible, it's important to drive the right discussions at the management level about the appropriate investment level needed to feed the later stage pipeline. So these were the historical levers through the three lenses. Now let's consider the external levers. Through the strategic lens, it's important to understand the attractiveness of your industry and adjacent industries. No one wants to be a winner in a dying industry, but it's probably also impossible, even in a 10-year period, to move completely into an unrelated industry. There are many recent examples, though, of companies successfully moving into adjacent industries from dying ones. Think of the move from print media to online media, black energy to green energy, and brick and mortar to online. It's somewhat easier with your geographical footprint. It's probably straightforward to open a new office in a growth market, then moving your business into an industry. So again here, you need to evaluate. Through the operational lens, in a scenario where your company needs to change industries, it's a full scope business transformation. This requires more than a simple and structured follow-up and rather a fully functioning transformation office. While this could be led by the CFO, it's more likely to be led by a business leader. Instead, the CFO should ensure to inject senior finance professionals into the transformation office to ensure a continuous alignment of strategic and financial objectives. For entering new markets, it also takes a structured approach. The CFO should drive the formation of a standard operating plan for what needs to be in place when starting or ramping up activities in a new market. This covers everything from system and processes to goal setting and more. Finally, through the financial lens, neither of these trends are bound to deliver results immediately and may require significant investments before returns can be expected. CFOs need to facilitate the overall business plan or case for these type of initiatives. What needs to be delivered by when and with what resources? CFOs also need to keep different functions and teams accountable to deliver on the agreed upon plans. And there's bound to be a lot of ambiguity between the start and the finish line in large scale projects like these. So these were the external levers. Again, you can't change overall megatrends, but you can certainly change how you act on them, rather than react on them. Finally, internal levers. Through the strategic lens, these are the choices the strategy comes down to, and we covered them extensively in the show last week. You can also check out the blog post, More Strategic Leadership is Needed from the CFO. If you want to catch up on that, the show will be available in the podcast in a few weeks. Will you buy growth, invest in organic growth, or simply improve your existing business? Making these choices often comes down to existing capabilities and resource availability, where CFOs should have a heavy voice in the discussion, if not even leading it. When you have made your choices through the operational lens, most success in M&A and capital expenditure comes down to your ability to execute, as with many things in life. There's a reason why McKinsey has identified that only if you take a programmatic approach to M&A will you succeed. That's because you need to build the right capabilities to consistently derive value from your transactions. This is impossible if you only do one or two transactions over a few years. Similarly, if you want to invest or differentiate, you also need to understand how this will be different from what you have tried in the past. Can the same organizational setup and people deliver this growth? Or will new capabilities and structures need to be built? CFOs should raise these questions and take an active part in building the needed capabilities. Finally, through the financial lens. For every investment or transaction made, the CFO should drive the value realization efforts. In larger companies, CFOs may even have teams dedicated to value realization from major initiatives. This is not to be an external entity that sanity checks and controls business initiatives, but rather be deeply embedded into M&A transactions, meaning integration teams or business finance teams being close to the teams getting funding for new investments. These levers are where the most value can be created or destroyed for that matter. So CFOs must make it their bread and butter to be close to these. This growth matrix should give CFOs and senior finance leaders an approach to how to drive growth. It's clear that there's a lot more granularity to the growth levers, and a lot of great literature and models exist. You can find great insights in Big Four surveys and frequently released McKinsey perspectives, a lot more, of course. However, most of the tools available all have some flavors of the same thing. Hence, it's the lenses that you apply to drive growth that will make the difference. So, as I said, it's important for CFOs to get on top of your growth efforts. Practically, all companies have growth plans, and yours is no different. You're likely not at the start of creating a new growth plan, though. Hence, it's to get practical about this growth matrix, it starts by identifying your current state. What growth initiatives are ongoing, and how has the value realization been from these initiatives so far? If they're falling short of the business plan, you need to understand why and drive appropriate action. Here are some good questions to ask. Which growth initiatives are we currently running? What value has been realized from these projects so far? What growth levers are we not working on and why? What are our competitors doing? How can we make more resources available to fuel growth efforts? We'll talk about that next week as well. What role has the finance team played in the growth efforts? Are we even involved? And are people being held accountable for the growth efforts they're in charge of? What's important is that you conduct a thorough evaluation of your growth efforts to ensure that you're on the right track. If you're not, you should flag it and trigger a strategy action planning session. We discussed what this is and how to do it in How CFOs Can Manage the Next Normal 2 weeks ago, formulating a process for CFOs to be driving strategic discussions in the company. Driving growth may just be the hardest task for CFOs and their finance team. Usually, finance professionals are much better at optimizing the existing business through, for instance, cost reduction initiatives. There's a time and place for those. However, businesses are made or broken by their ability to grow and less so by their ability to reduce costs. Cannot save yourself to greatness, as I usually say. That's why it's critical to not be a CFO, but become a CFGrow. We are talking about how CFOs can drive growth. It's one of the top 10 priorities for CFOs in 2024. Says who? Says we. You know, of course, there can be lengthy discussions about that. Next week, we will talk about how CFOs can drive down debt levels, which is another one of the top 10 priorities. Clearly, debt levels have increased significantly in the past decade, and with interest rates being much higher than they have been in that period, there is an urgency to bring down debt to free resources to invest in growth and to take advantage of the current business environment, which is kind of not quite sure where it's going to go. So we look forward to having that discussion next week as well. But with that said, I think we will close today's show. Thank you so much for listening in. I truly appreciate that. If you have any questions or just want to discuss something, you can always reach out to me here on LinkedIn. Always present and available. So thanks a lot, everyone. And I hope to see some of you again next week.
You've been listening to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show recorded live on LinkedIn Audio. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on the latest trends in finance and accounting. And why not join Anders every Thursday on LinkedIn to share your own views and appear in the next episode?